Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for the Scores Bears pregame show, starring Score Bears experts Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Good afternoon, Chicago. Thank you so much for being with us again today for our Bears pregame and post. And if you want to come out and join us, please do. We are out in Aurora all afternoon and evening at the Piazza. We're at 85 Executive Drive. Real easy to get to, you guys, off of 88. Going to be here all afternoon and evening. Patrick Manley and I are here with your pregame right up until kickoff. Immediately following the game, Olin Krutz and James Big Cat Williams and I will have 2 hours of Bears talk for you. Come on out and meet the guys, watch the game, and enjoy Bud Light specials brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager. And this hour on The Score is being brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to perldavid.com. Welcome in. I am Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley alongside. And Pat, we're going to go heavy Bears-Vikings, obviously, all afternoon, all evening. But before we even get to that, I heard something about experts in the intro. I look at a day like today, and I don't get how anybody's an expert. I mean, somebody's got to explain to me how that Lions team that we saw last week comes home and plays as well as they did against the Carolina Panthers. Washington has no offensive line. They lose their quarterback early in the game, and they damn near pull off a huge upset over Houston. Pittsburgh, just awful all day long in the revenge game, and then they somehow come up with 20 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how you pick this stuff. We're going to break down Bears and Vikings, but at some point, you scratch your head and say, what's going on in the National Football League?
Hub, I'm with you, but I like it all. I actually have this the National Football Conference standings up here at the NFC East, with Washington sitting at 6-4, the Bears at 6-3. The top two teams, obviously the Saints and the Rams at 8-1 and 9-1, but nobody else has 7 wins. So what happened today in the early games is all in favor for the Bears, and if they can go out there tonight and beat the Vikings at home, they'll be the second or the third team with 7 wins in the standings there. And this is just, it's falling in the Bears' favor right now, and they just have to keep this ball rolling and come out with a win tonight.
You know, it's really interesting getting ready for this game all week long and trying to break down the unit-by-unit matchups, the one-on-ones, looking at where the Bears are at to get to 6-3, where the Vikings are at to get to 5-3-1. You know, neither one has beaten a winning team. Neither one has played particularly well against good football teams, but you can't punish a team for the schedule.
What do you mean? The Bears just beat the Lions. The Lions looked great today.
I mean, that's where the mystery comes
right,
from.
Right.
And so I hear all the national folks all week long, the Bears will get theirs now. You know, the Vikings are coming in. The Vikings haven't been any more. I mean, you read off the names and you see the Pro Bowlers and you look at what they did last year and the year before, but based on where they're at right now, I'm not so sure I don't like the way the Bears are playing football better.
No, I'm with you. And you look at teams and you match up rosters and you kind of evaluate it. Maybe I do starting there. Like, what are you, position by position, how do they match up? Not only like right guard versus right guard, but maybe right guard versus defensive tackle. And I look at all these matchups all the way across the board between these two teams, and they're very, very similar. And the way Mitch Trubisky is playing right now, he's right up there with Kirk Cousins. He was a guy that I would say could flip the balance there between these two teams, but you know, everybody's talked about Minnesota and their defense. Well, the Bears are ranked, you know, one higher, and they have a great D-line, and so do the Bears. The Minnesota Vikings don't have the greatest offensive line. They're playing a little bit better now. The Bears are playing great up front in pass protection, but not great up front in the run game, obviously. The receivers, I would put the Bears receivers right now against Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. And then you look at Kirk Cousins and Mitch Trubisky, and the way Mitch has played the last couple weeks, you know, this is pretty balanced. This is going to be a big test, and that's what makes it so fun. Hub, I'm sick and tired of sitting around and waiting. We have to wait another 3 hours and 20 minutes before kickoff. I woke up this early this morning, and I wanted the game to kick off. And as a former player, you like the night games because of the spectacle, and it's the only game on TV. But it's such a long day waiting. And I know it is for Bears fans right now. I know it is for me right now. And I know it is for you. I'm just excited for this game to get started.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I am not big on these night games. I don't mind the 325 start
right.
so
That's
much.
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
the
national.
Sleep in a little bit with it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're still national. You're still prime time. And actually, depending on some of the matchups, some of these games have been rated higher than the Sunday night game. Not that I care about the ratings, but that's what the league is going for here. I just think, and maybe this is a good place to start, because we almost have to work on two games, you know, back on Thursday. But flexing the Bears in this game, knowing that they've got the early game Thursday at Thanksgiving, I haven't done a ton of research, but went back and looked a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can't find anywhere where this has been done before, and it's a tremendous disadvantage on Thursday. It doesn't really have any impact tonight. But you just wonder how able this young, improving, inexperienced team has been able to focus, never really being able to get completely out of their mind that whatever happens tonight, they are right back at practice tomorrow and back at work on Thursday.
Yeah, you're right. That is one thing that if they do happen to lose tonight, you don't even talk about this game again for the rest of the year. It's over because you're right on to Detroit. So you can go with it two ways. If you win, you continue the momentum of a two – or this will be four-game winning streak going into Detroit on a short week. But if you lose, you just lose it. You don't even watch the tape. You don't have time to do it. So a young team can maybe use that to their advantage where they don't have to look at a game if they lost. They just say, all right, we're on to Detroit. We beat them before. Let's do it again and go up to Detroit and get back on track. So it is difficult. And then the other thing kind of hurting the Bears tonight is Minnesota coming off a bye. You know, I think teams, whenever they come off a bye, the advantage is in their favor, and it looks that way a little bit for Minnesota in the injury front. You know, the Bears aren't injured at all, but they're getting some players back. They're getting looks like Tom Compton might be back, who was a matchup that I thought was going to be favorable for the Bears if their backup left guard was playing. And they got some other guys that had kind of been nicked up throughout the year, and now they're getting that extra, I call it, 2 weeks of healing up, because they go from Sunday to Sunday, and they'll be a little bit more full speed. So I think that could hurt the Bears a little bit.
It will be. We'll see when the inactives come out. You know, you flip it around a little bit, and Adam Thielen's been banged up all week, limited participation in practice. That would be a big deal for the Bears. Anthony Barr has been out the last few weeks. They had hoped to get him back. He has had limited participation in practice. You know, one thing that we have to say for the Bears, and we can't ignore Kyle Long and, of course, Sam Acho on IR now. Adam Shaheen just came off of IR yesterday. But even with those three injuries, they have been one of the healthiest teams in the NFL.
It's been unbelievable. You know, I do that Chicago Huddle TV show, and we have Dr. Tonino on, and we talk to him each week. We do a little segment where we break down the Bears' injuries, and we've got nothing to talk about. We talk about the injuries.
It's a good problem.
We got the injuries to talk about around the league. Like last week, we were talking about Cooper Kupp tearing his ACL, and it's great because the years past I've been doing that. That thing could have been a 30-minute segment instead of a 5-minute segment, and you know, I'm just happy to see this happen for the Bears. It's good to be this late in the season and only have that many guys on IR. I mean, that's obviously a huge advantage. They just need to keep it going and stay healthy. And then as it goes on, as you get into December, coaches start to game plan matchups. They'll match up backups and backups' backups. You know, they'll try to pick apart defenses with backup corners, backup safeties. They'll do the same thing up front if you've got backup O-linemen in. You know, so the Bears right now, they're not playing any backups. They got all their starters in that they really went into training camp with, besides Kyle Long. But this is a great thing to see here in Chicago, and let's just hope it keeps going. I'm going to knock on this wood in front of us.
There you go. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. Phones are starting to light up already. We've got Tony out in Villa Park. Tony, thank you for dialing us up. How you doing today?
You? All right. I wanted to ask you about Jordan Howard. I've been watching him. I used to be a running back of sorts, and he just doesn't look right to me. He seems like he's missing some holes, and he just doesn't look like he's really into it like he used to be. And is he nursing some sort of secret injury? What do you see?
I don't think he's nursing a secret injury. I thought last week he looked a lot better. You know, he had that touchdown running over the safety going into the end zone, and that's the Jordan Howard we're used to seeing. I think a little bit up front is, I say a lot of bit up front, is they're not blocking as well in the run game. He's getting hit. I think it's known that he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage more than most running backs in the NFL. So that's a tough thing to deal with if you're a running back. You want to obviously get to the second level and use his power and size to run over guys. But I think a lot has to do with the offensive line. I don't think he's hiding an injury. you know, he's a rhythm back, in my opinion. What I mean by that, he's a guy that needs consecutive carries and gets going later in the second half, and he just hasn't had that type of run game called for him yet this year.
Yeah, Tony, you're watching a little different tape than I am, and that said, I'm not trying to be a wise guy with you, because I know other folks, some of the other media guys, have suggested they don't think that Howard looks right, but I just don't see it. I mean, when he clears the line of scrimmage or when he gets a crease at the line of scrimmage, he looks every bit as explosive to me as he always has. First play of the game last week, he breaks through for 9 yards. He runs over somebody, and then they give him the ball once more in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when he is hit behind the line of scrimmage, yeah, he's missing some bursts. Where are you going to burst? You know, the shotgun is not the problem. He was one of the best backs in the league the last 2 years running out of the shotgun. He actually is much improved in the passing game. We know how hard he worked at it, so I don't think there's injuries at all. One of the things I've been impressed by is that he certainly isn't moping. He's certainly not complaining. When he is on the field, he's in the middle of the celebrations, even if it's somebody else's play. He seems to have matured in his third year into a really solid team guy. But even in talking to Matt Nagy, Pat, he acknowledges, no, just because we have this different offense doesn't mean we don't have to run the ball. It's really important. We can't be one-dimensional. And they're not establishing it. And so I can't make up my mind if maybe he's saving it. I mean, maybe we're going to see something tonight or in the next couple of weeks we haven't seen. Maybe he's just so focused on developing Trubisky in the passing game first that he's not worried about it. Or maybe because he's a rookie head coach, he doesn't realize that he's missing it sometimes in his play calling.
Yeah, and those are all – you know what's great about this, though, Hub? Is that we're talking about this issue and the Bears are still winning and putting up points and yards. So if they can figure this out, and as the season goes along, as everybody talks about here in Chicago, how much different the weather is and harder the weather is here for the home games, that will make a difference. And I think Matt Nagy will get a taste of that coming up, maybe not tonight because it's supposed to be, you know, beautiful night but chilly, but as it goes on and maybe it's some bad weather. But I love that this is what we're talking about. This is an issue, and they're still putting up points and winning. But, yes, they do need to get it right. And like you said, Matt Nagy admits to it. And obviously he's in meetings thinking about it, and he's talking to Harry Hiestand, the offensive line coach, and they're trying to figure it out.
Well, and I think it's real important to be clear here, like you just said. I'm not complaining about this. I'm not doubting the head coach. You know, it's frustrating for me, and I guess I got a little bit of a reputation in the media room because I spent the last 2 years literally battling with John Fox and Dowell Loggins about where's the running game. But the reason for that is they were just lying to us. I mean, they just said we're a run-first team, and they were throwing the ball 65, 66% of the time. They didn't have a plan. They didn't have a game plan. They weren't a run-first team. I'm fine with what Nagy's doing. This offense is exciting.
Sure.
I like the way he's developing the quarterback and the receivers. It's just but when they talk about not having the running game, but they keep insisting it's not because they're misusing Howard, I mean, I can't analyze that objectively and agree with that. Now, I trust that they're going to figure it out. I do think there's a plan, but it's a bit of a mystery right now.
It is, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of plan is dialed up tonight against the Minnesota Vikings with that front four. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to try to run it outside with Tariq Cohen and not use Jordan Howard? Or say, all right, we're just going to go man-on-man, maybe double-team those two big guys up the middle and try to run that inside zone to Jordan Howard. So this will be interesting. This is a really tough game to try to figure out your run game against. So we'll see what happens.
Well, and here's something that we know. We learned this the hard way because we've seen it twice. And people just assumed it was because of the injuries to Robinson and Khalil Mack. But the reality is when you play a team with great pressure like the Chicago Bears, what you want to do to slow that pressure is run the ball right at the defense between the tackles to force them to play honest, which is what the Dolphins did with 80-year-old Frank Gore. It's what the Patriots did. And those were the two games where the Bears' pressure wasn't all that effective. I'm not saying it's the only way, but one really nice way to slow the Vikings down, who have, 10 sacks last week, I think 16 in the last 2 weeks, is you got to run right at him between the tackles. But the Bears haven't been able to do it until now.
No, like you said, that'll be interesting to see. And that'll be interesting to see if the Vikings take the same approach against the Bears. Because like I said earlier, these two front sevens of each team are outstanding. So how do you combat that? And you're right, that is a good idea. Just line up, start running at him, try to wear him down, and then go ahead and start into the passing game. But that's what makes this game so intriguing, because these two defenses are awesome, and it's going to be fun to watch them play. And I had Roy Robertson-Harrison on that TV show, and I asked him, is there a little bit of competition between you guys and the Vikings or any other defense in the league? And he said no, but you could kind of tell that they see where they are each week. They know where they are each week. They know if they go out and dominate they can stay ahead of Minnesota and move up the ranks a little bit and try to get to be number one in the league.
Here's the really strange, it's not dichotomy, irony is probably the better word about this conversation. Going in tonight, the Bears are 12th in the NFL running the football. The Vikings are 28th. But those numbers are badly skewed because of Mitch Trubisky's contribution, second leading rushing quarterback in the league, and because Dalvin Cook has missed the better part of the season. Latavius Murray actually has been better than any of the Bears running backs. He's averaging 4.5 a pop, but they didn't have their big explosion guy in Dalvin Cook. It looks like he is the healthiest he's been, and so going in tonight, the Vikings' 28th ranked ground game scares me more running between the tackles than the Bears' 12th game ranked running game.
I'm with you. That Dalvin Cook is special. I liked him a whole lot coming out of Florida State, and he's just a complete back that can, you know, get out wide, run through the tackles, catch the ball. And the kind of the scary thing is he came back 2 weeks ago against the Lions off a hurt hamstring and has the fastest miles per hour run in the NFL for a 70-yard run with a bad hamstring, and now he's had basically 2 weeks of rest. He's a dynamic player, and that's the one guy I think you'll see them use a little bit more in the backfield just because I think he is so dynamic.
Yeah, his last college game prior to the combine was him single-handedly destroying Michigan in that crazy bowl game where the lead changed hands four times
in the
last 2 minutes. But I came away from that game thinking, wow, I love this kid, and that the Vikings got him in the second round really pissed me off. I mean, he's too good a back for that. So we shall see how ready he is tonight. We've got Les and Alex hanging on the phones. Guys, we're going to be with you in just a minute. We got to take a very quick commercial break here. When we get back, right back to the phones and more Bears-Vikings pregame right here at The Score. Welcome back, everybody. Bears-Vikings pregame here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Patrick Manley is here. I am Hub Arkish, and you can come on out and join us if you like. We are out at a Bud Light pregame show here at Piazza out in Aurora. It's real easy to get to, guys. 85 Executive Drive. Come on out right off of 59, off of 88. Going to be here until kickoff with our pregame show. We're going to be watching the game here with Olin Krutz and Big Cat Williams, and then 2 hours of postgame out here at Piazza. It is all thanks to our friends at Bud Light. Got Bud Light specials. We are brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager. And I want to thank our crew that makes all this possible. We get out on the road. Patrick and I, Kat, Olin, we just show up. But thanks to, Dave Miska, the legendary Dave Miska is here spinning the dials. Come on out and see him. Get his autograph. It's of Chicago Cubs fame. Dave Miska is here. From promotions, we've got Holt Erickson and Matt Doyle. They've got the swag for you, guys. All kinds of free score gifts. Adam Studzinski is spinning the dials back in the studio. He is producing. He is the friendly voice at the other end of the phone when you call us at 312-644-6767. So let's get right back at it, where Les has been waiting patiently in Oak Park. Les, how you doing today?
Well, I'm a little bit older waiting online, but that's fine. You guys did a great job comparing to the offensive line, the defensive line, the quarterback, the receiving corps. But there's one position you didn't compare, and that's the kicker. The kicker. My prediction, for what it's worth, 23-20 Vikings, because our kicker misses a field goal and our kicker misses an extra point. By the way, his salary comes to $25,000 every time he kicks the ball. That's my prediction. Thanks.
Well, that's so it's going to go down then every time he kicks. I'm not sure how you can say that. We don't know how many kicks he's going to have this year. Pat, what's funny about that, and we all know what happened to Cody Parkey last week. The Vikings are on their second kicker because the kid they traded up to draft lasted 2 weeks, Carlson. So they bring in Dan Bailey from the Cowboys, and they were auditioning kickers to replace him last week. So, I mean, the idea that because Cody Parkey had a bad game, I don't even know that the Vikings get an edge there.
No, they don't. I'm looking at his stats right here. He's kicking at 80%. He's 12 of 15. He's missed one between 20 and 29 yards, and he's missed two between 40 and 49. Let me look here if I can find the extra points. He's 16 of 17, so he's missed one of those as well. There's a reason why you get cut. There's a reason why a team lets you go, and he was a great kicker in Dallas. And he is, I believe, at one point was the most accurate kicker in the NFL. And right now he's only making 80% of his kicks this year, and he's going downhill a little bit. And to go back, the Cowboys saw something, obviously. And, I've watched other games of the Vikings, and Mike Zimmer said he makes all his kicks in practice, but the game's a different story. And as you get older, things happen. The game changes a little bit for you. And I'm not as comfortable with Dan Bailey as, as obviously as they are, but I think he's going downhill a little bit. But Cody Parkey has some serious struggles going on, Hub.
Yeah, well, you know, Les, just before we get back to Parkey, I have the not overly significant distinction of having been the sideline reporter for the national radio call for Westwood One of the coldest playoff game in NFL history. It was 3 years ago when Seattle went into Minnesota. We're still playing at the University of Minnesota Stadium. And it was, of course, that game where Blair Walsh shanked the 29-yarder to win the game at the end. And their kicking has been a mess ever since for two-plus seasons. So, you know, there really is no edge here. As far as Cody Parkey, I would be a lot more worried about last week if he didn't come into this season the ninth most accurate kicker in NFL history. And that's something Robbie Gould's always been part of that. Robbie was top five, top six for a long time. Is still there a couple spots ahead of Parkey. Obviously, so far this year, that accuracy has been disappointing. My concern when they signed Parkey was that he apparently has about a 47 to 48 yard leg. I mean, that's the outer reaches of his limits, outer limits of his reach. Mm-hmm. You know, he actually, in his first 4 years, only tried seven kicks outside the 50. But from 48 and in, he has been one of the most accurate kickers in the NFL. So I guess my answer to Les, Pat, is if the Bears have to try a 54-yarder to win the game, they could be in trouble.
Sure.
But if we're talking about kicks from 49, 48, 47 in, I, for some reason, I'm kind of quietly confident that Parkey's going to have a better night tonight.
I just hope he makes that first kick.
Yeah.
I just hope he makes that. I was talking to Bernstein and McKnight on Friday and talking about how long do you think it'll take for him to get over this. I think it takes him one game. If he goes out and has a really good game, goes 3-for-3, 4-for-4, even 3-for-4 with like a 53-yarder missed and makes all his extra points, maybe four of those hopefully, then he's back. But for us as fans, it's going to take us 2 to 3 weeks. We're going to, maybe he has a good game, makes them all this week, but I guarantee you against Detroit, all of us as fans are going to look at that TV and say, is he going to make it? Mm-hmm. Is he going to make it? And it's going to take us a little bit longer, but I think it takes him 1 week to get over it and he'll get back to being the good kicker he is. He's not a great kicker, but he's a good kicker. And if he can overcome this mental hurdle that these first couple kicks will be tonight, then I think he'll be okay.
Alex is in Harvard. He dialed us up. Alex, thank you for the phone call. Hope you're having a good day so far. How you doing?
I'm all right. Hold on. I just woke up from a nap. But how you guys doing? Listen.
Well, not napping, but you're good.
I'm good. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I was waiting so long, I fell asleep. But listen, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Many blessings to you guys and your families. I it's going to come down to this. Nobody seems to put a lot of emphasis on Minnesota's quarterback and the fact that he is known as Mr. Butterfingers, okay? If we can maintain a solid pass rush within the first three quarters, I can see us and our corners need to step up more than ever, because you know what? You're not playing a mediocre team. You're playing the Vikings. The division game. We've only won one out of the last 11 division games. We need to step it up. We need to show the nation, we need to show everyone that we are for real. And this game tonight could be that defining moment to solidify us, to take us a little bit to where we need to be, not just in the division, but to let the league know, hey, this team's for real. Thank you, guys.
Well, Alex, thank you for the call. You know, Pat, I listen, yeah, you got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. I mean, the corners, they have to play well. But right now, Kyle Fuller is playing as well as any outside corner in the league, and Bryce Callahan's playing as well as any slot corner in the league. So they have to keep doing what they've been doing. You know, I think if they play the way they have the last 8 weeks, they're going to be fine. To be honest, I worry a little bit more about when you get into dime packages. Prince Amukamara hasn't been bad, but has probably slipped a little bit from where he was first half of the season. Adrian Amos is still a bit of a mystery to me. I think Eddie Jackson's playing really well. The good news is that so much of the Vikings passing game does go through those two guys,
yeah,
in Diggs and Thielen. What does worry me a little bit when you watch the tape, Thielen lines up in the slot an awful lot. And as well as Bryce Callahan is playing, that is a huge size mismatch. I mean, you know, Bryce is going to give up about 5.5 inches and about 35 pounds, and that can be tough.
Well, that's what's fun about this game, and I think that's what builds it up. And the reason why the records are what they are is you've got good on good. That's a great matchup to watch, and Alex is right. The corners got to play well. They have two very good receivers. I think Stephon Diggs averages only 10 yards of reception, so he's not a big deep ball threat right now. They're running a lot of underneath stuff with John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator. But those three guys you just mentioned, Prince Amukamara, Bryce Callahan, and Kyle Fuller, have their hands full. These guys are playing great as wide receivers. Adam Thielen is leading the lead in 78 receptions. as a wide receiver, so you know he's going to be targeted a lot. But that's what makes this so fun, that you got good on good. You're going to see a good matchup and entertaining football. And Alex had a good point, too, about Kirk Cousins and being the Butterfingers. He is second in the league in quarterback fumbles. He has 8 of them. And you look back at their schedule and you're like, oh, they lost to the Buffalo Bills. Well, he had 3 fumbles in that game, and that's why they lost. So that is the truth, that if you can get to him, he can turn the ball over. And we got a guy named number 52 over there, Khalil Mack, who's pretty good at stripping the ball. So that could be an advantage the Bears do take, because he does not secure the ball in the pocket.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to catch the Cats at Ryan Field this fall. Northwestern hosts Illinois on November 24th for Senior Day. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. And we head out to West Chicago. Greg, hope you're having a good afternoon. How you doing?
I am, thank you. I am. Thank you very much. I got a question about Kevin White. They've had him for a couple of years. He hasn't been able to play. He seems to be healthy this year. It's the last year of his contract. Why aren't they using him a little bit more than they are? I'd like to see what he's got. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Greg, thank you for the call. Pat, I think the answer is not what Bears fans want to hear, but Matt Nagy has been pretty blunt and honest about it. Right now, Kevin White is either the fourth or fifth best wide receiver on the team, and it's hard to get the ball consistently to your fourth wide receiver.
And, Greg, you know, the Bears see him a lot more than we do, and they see him at practice at Hallis Hall. And when you're not active, there's something going on. And that, to me, is there's something going on at Hallis Hall, whether it's in the meetings or the practice field. And I think that's why you're not seeing him more. And there, obviously, he's getting reps in practice, whether it's scout team or maybe earlier in the year he was getting reps with the first offense. They're not seeing what they like, so you can't put him out there. So I trust these coaches. They've done a really nice job of evaluating the players and putting the right ones out there. And I don't have a problem with the players, the coaches not playing him, because a lot goes on at Hallis Hall we don't see from the outside. And that, to me, is the answer why he's not on the field.
You know, Matt, we talked to him on Friday, and Nagy was very open and transparent in his answer to the question about what's up with Kevin White. He said, listen, before we deactivated him 2 weeks ago, the first time he was a healthy scratch, he and I sat down in my office, and we had a long talk. And he said it was a really good talk. And he said, Kevin told me what he was feeling and what was on his mind. And he said, I told Kevin what I'm looking for. And that, I think that's an exact quote. I told Kevin what I'm looking for. And so they're just not, as you say, Pat, seeing enough in practice and on the practice field to justify him getting these reps or getting a jersey at this point. I was actually a little, I don't want to say worried, but I was guessing there was a possibility when they activated Adam Shaheen that they might release Kevin White if they weren't going to. They didn't. They've moved Deion Sims onto IR, brought Adam Shaheen off of IR. Doesn't mean Shaheen will play tonight, although I'm guessing he will. I think that's why they activated him yesterday. So they're not cutting White loose. You know, they want to continue to look, but he's got to show more if he wants to play.
Well, there's your answer. They're not seeing what they want to see at Hallis Hall. They're not seeing what they want to see at practice. They're not seeing what they want to see in the weight room, the meeting room, all that stuff. So that's great they had this conversation, and I don't think you cut ties with him yet. You might give him another chance because, you know, he is a first-round draft pick, and you got a lot of equity in him, which is almost over because his contract's done. But he has a tremendous upside. We saw what he did in West Virginia and his athletic ability and how big he is. But there's the answer, Hub. He's not doing enough at Hallis Hall.
Chris is in Jefferson Park. Chris, we're going to be running for a guest in a couple of minutes, but why don't you give us your question? We'll get you a quick answer. Maybe we'll let Greg Gabriel chime in on it as well. How you doing?
I'm good, Dub. Hey, the question I have is, Daniels from the Vikings, the defensive end, had 3 pass rushes at first sack against the Lions. Leonard Floyd had a sack against the Lions. How good of a pass rush did the Vikings have?
The Vikings have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL. I mean, Daniel Hunter is second in the league right now with 11.5 sacks. Everson Griffin missed some time for some personal problems, but he's a double-digit sack guy.
He had 13 last year.
Yeah. Sheldon Richardson is a former 5 technique with the Jets, who is, I think, had a double-digit sack season. He is more of a pass rusher than a run stuffer. The only guy up front who doesn't come is Linville Joseph, who's as good a run stuffer and a gap eater as you're going to find in the NFL.
He's like your Eddie Goldman, but he still gets a little more pressure than Eddie Goldman up front, in my opinion.
I think the Vikings have the best defensive line in football, is the answer to your question. And again, the week before, the Bears sacked the Lions 6 times. The Vikings sacked them 10 times. So it's a really really good pass rush. Guys, we're going to take a very quick break here. When we get back, we'll see if we can get Terrence's question in for Patrick Manley, myself. I'm Hub Arkish. And Greg Gabriel is going to join us on the other side. We're back in just a moment here at The Score. Thank you all so much for being with us this afternoon. I am Hub Arkish along with Patrick Manley as we bring you our 670 The Score Bears-Vikings pregame. And we are out on a remote again this week. We'd love to have you stop by and see us. Come on out and enjoy some cold Bud Light. It's the Bud Light pregame show here at the Piazza in Aurora. We're at 85 Executive Drive. It's right off of 59, off of 88. Patrick Manley and I are here until kickoff with the pregame show. Big Cat Williams, Olin Krutz will be here. We'll be watching the game with y'all and then doing 2 hours of postgame. And we've got Bud Light drink specials. We're brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. We hope to see you out here. If you can't make it, you can give us a call, 312-644-6767. But hold up a moment on the calls. We've got a special guest coming up now. That would be our regular weekly visit with Greg Gabriel. Greg, of course, the personnel expert at ProFootballWeekly.com as well as 670 The Score. Read him all week at both places, both websites. He's got regular appearances on the station as well. And Greg joins us at this point in the pregame every week. Greg, welcome to the show, and a little different feel to today, a little bigger game, got the national spotlight. Should be very interesting to see what happens at Soldier Field tonight.
Real big game, you know, and my thought all week was that with this being the home game in the series with Minnesota, this is a must-win situation for the Bears. I don't think the Bears, if they lose tonight, I don't think they can feel real comfortable going into Minnesota in mid-December and coming away with a win there. So I think a win tonight really solidifies their chance of winning the division. A loss, I think, means they're competing more for a wild card spot with the other teams, and the advantage they have there is they got, about a two-game lead in that wild card race. So it's an important game. And this morning, I co-hosted this morning with Nick Shepkowski, and we had Jerry Angelo on. And one thing Jerry pointed out was the magnitude of this game is new to this team. It's been years since they've had a game that was this big. And as this team as we see it now, player-wise, none of those guys together as a team have had a big game like this. So how they respond to the pressure and the spotlight of this game could be a key part of it.
Greg, that's a great point. I think that's where coaching can come in and help these guys. You know, Matt Nagy's been there with the Chiefs. Harry Hiestand's been there before with the Bears. Vic Fangio's been there before. So I think he can help. All those guys can help these young guys kind of figure out where they stand. And, you know, people talk about a must-win game, and they say, oh, I don't want it to be a must-win game. I've got no problem with putting that pressure on the guys. I mean, you've been around a lot of teams like that. Do you think there is an issue with saying there's a must-win game, or is that okay to say?
No, it's perfectly fine to say. In fact, that's when you're finding out about your team, how they respond to a situation like this. You know, if you want this team to be a playoff team and be a title contender down the road, you got to see how they respond in situations like this. You know, if they come in and melt, we don't want to talk negatives, but if they melt into that situation, that's the concern. You want to see them go out and compete and physically try to dominate the opposition.
You know, Greg, I think there are enough veterans involved here, even though Khalil Mack doesn't have playoff experience, Allen Robinson doesn't have playoff experience, Taylor Gabriel's been to a Super Bowl, Trey Burton won a Super Bowl last year. As you go through these units, Aaron Lynch played some big games in San Francisco. You've got enough of this new talent that at least has they understand this level of competition. And so I don't think we can expect to see deer in the headlights tonight. I think what you worry about, at least what I worry about more, not so much the scope or the scale of the game as the level of competition is increasing tonight. This is tougher matchups for the Bears in almost every position than some of the matchups they've been dominating against, quite frankly, some weaker teams the last few weeks.
No question, Hub. And you go back to August when analysts were, you know, predicting what team was going to do what during the course of the season. Everybody had Minnesota is either the first or the second best team in the NFC. You know, and the argument was who's better, them or the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, Philadelphia's kind of fallen by the wayside this year, but Minnesota started slow, but they've played really good football in the last few weeks or the last month. And this is going back to what we just said a few minutes ago. This is a huge test for the Bears, and we find out more about this team tonight than we've, you know, really known about them all season.
Greg, we started out the show kind of talking about the two rosters and comparing them back and forth. How would you compare these rosters? And I guess I want to put it in a two-part question. Which team would you take today, and then which team would you take maybe a year or two down the road?
Well, I'm biased. I look, you know, because I'm here and I've been part of the Bears organization for 10 years. So, and I like the makeup of the Bears roster, especially because of the youth. I mean, how many players do you got who are 30 years old in a starting lineup? I don't think you have any. And so it's, I think when you look at that, you look at the skill players. Granted, Minnesota's got a great receiver in Thielen, but at the same time, they don't have the real speed guy that can stretch the field. If there's a guy on that offense that can do it, it's Diggs. But I think when you look at the players' wide receiver position, the Bears might be a little bit better than they are. I'll take the Vikings at the running back position. Right now, you've got to take Cousins over Mitch Trubisky at the quarterback position, but only because of experience, not raw talent. I think when you look at the upside, it's Mitch by a long shot. Defensively, I just love the Bears unit. I don't see a weak spot on the whole defense. I mean, they're strong across the front line. They're strong at the linebacker position, strong at the secondary position, and they're young guys, and they're going to be playing together for years to come. So I'll take the Bears roster.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the wide receivers, Greg, and I was thinking a lot about that today. Allen Robinson definitely can play with Thielen and Diggs. Thielen's the best receiver in the NFL this year so far, but Allen Robinson is that kind of player. We can't really justify saying that yet about Taylor Gabriel or Anthony Miller, but then when you throw in Trey Burton, I do agree. I think the Bears are deeper, you know, in the pass-catching edge, and that's where a lot of places you look and you'll see that. But I think what is just catching up with some of the national media and fans who want to undervalue this team and talk about the level of competition is how much they've improved the talent. You know, I mean, these guys don't resemble what we've been used to seeing at the receiving positions for the Bears the last few years.
Oh, God, not at all. I mean, last year we were talking about the Bears having the worst wide receiver core in the National Football League, and nobody could get separation and get open for the quarterback. And an entirely different story now, but a lot of that has to do with the offensive scheme, too. And I think, you know, this group is so good that they push each other. And I think, you know, an interesting concept, and you were talking about a little, you said you didn't expect Shaheen to play that much tonight. I can tell you the truth, Hub, I think he's going to play a lot. Now, when I say a lot, maybe 20 snaps, 25 snaps. But then I go back to last week, and I think in my mind that was a key. They only had four wide receivers active, and I think part of that was, let's see what we're going to do with four wide receivers, because next week we're going to have Shaheen, and he's going to play a role. You go look and see what the tight end position has done for Philly, and this is the same position. Burton is going to be Burton. You know, as we saw Burton last year with Philly, and Shaheen can be that Ertz type of guy if in fact he's ready to go right now. And I think that's going to just bring another weapon to the Bears offense for this last seven games of the season.
That's kind of a scary thing, Greg. You're talking about another weapon. You know, we were talking about injuries and the lack of injuries they've had, which is great, but to add another weapon to that offense is awesome for Matt Nagy, and lucky him. But I wanted to ask you a question about Bryce Callahan on the defensive side and the year he's having. He is up as a free agent after this year. He has a big test this week going against the Vikings receivers we were talking about. If he goes out and plays great the next couple weeks, you being in the personnel department, do you start going to him and his agent and start to figure out how do we keep this guy?
Pat, I think you have to. And I'm looking at the numbers. Now, here's the guy that he's supposedly the nickel corner, and you're only playing in most cases 65, 70% of the downs, but in the Bears' case, you're really playing more, probably more like 85%, yet he's the fourth leading tackler on the team. He's got, you know, a couple interceptions. He's got a couple sacks. This guy's playing outstanding football, and he's not a big guy, probably 5'9", 5'9 and a half, but he's strong and really tough, and he can play the run, tackles really well. You know, I said this morning when I was on the air, I said if there was a Pro Bowl position for a nickel corner, he would arguably be in the conversation for that spot.
You know, Greg, we were talking right off the top of the show about just watching some of these early games. And, you know, again, I think the big question everybody's trying to answer, you and Patrick have both alluded to it already, is tonight is the night that the Bears establish where they fit. Are they for real? Are they a pretender with a soft schedule? Are they somewhere in the middle? And then I look at what went on earlier today, and I don't understand how Detroit can be as awful as they were last week, and then they go home and they beat a really good Carolina team. Panthers were 6-2 until they ran into Pittsburgh last week. Then look at Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, they did everything they could to get beat by Jacksonville, who had lost five straight today. You see Dallas, you know, going into Atlanta. Washington, without their quarterback or four starting offensive linemen, almost knocks off Houston, who now has a 7-game win streak. How close is the talent? I mean, is it really just that the really good teams have three or four guys that separate them from everybody else? Or
yeah,
are there teams in the league?
I think that's it, Hub, and coaching. I think coaching, it's a coach's league. I've thought that for a long time, and that can be the difference between a good team and an average team. And, you know, and you're talking both scheme and game day play calling. So it's an important aspect of the difference between a good team and a bad team. A lot of the talent's the same, and you're right. There's only a few different – when you put all the teams on a board, you compare their rosters, there's only a few players on each team that make one team maybe a superb team versus an average team. I mean, just look at what one player did to the Bears' defense, Khalil Mack. It was a good defense last year. Now they're a great defense, and just adding one player.
All right, we have all these good players, and they have some great players, and the Bears have some great players. What are some of the matchups you're looking forward to watching tonight?
Well, one's going to be Callahan against Thielen. I think that could tell a lot in this game because Thielen plays a lot in the slot. Obviously, Callahan's going to be on him in one-on-one situations. That's an important one. Another one is the Minnesota defensive ends against the Bears' offensive tackles, and I think Minnesota has an advantage there. You know, we haven't heard a lot about Everson Griffin all year. He's had the, you know, personal problems. I think he's got 1.5 or 2 sacks on the season because he missed so much time. What he can do from his play in the past, and he's been a Pro Bowl player, level player for a long time. I think that situation is going to be key for the Bears tonight and a real good matchup to look at.
Greg, one more before we get a pick from you, and then we have to let you go. Give us your scouting report on Kirk Cousins. He really, when it comes to throwing the football, has played very well his whole career in Washington and played very well the first 10 weeks for the Vikings. There is the fumbling issue, and at the end of the day, you know, they lost some games they shouldn't have. So where do you rank Kirk Cousins with some of the really good quarterbacks?
You know, I don't think he's in the class with guys like Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers, but what Kirk Cousins is he's very, very efficient. He's accurate. He's not going to kill you with the deep ball. He doesn't have the arm talent to do that, but he can really hurt a team with his accuracy on the short game, a lot of those crossing routes. He gets the ball out of his hand really quickly. He's got a very good feel for reading defenses, and that accuracy is just amazing. So, I mean, he's 71% or 71.5% on the year already, and we're, you know, better than halfway through the season. So he's a difference maker for Minnesota because they haven't had a player at that position in a long time, and as he gets used to playing in this offense and playing with his teammates, he's going to make him even that much better.
Hey, Greg, I got to ask you about Cody Parkey. You were in the college personnel department, so you've had to scout kickers quite a bit coming out of college. How difficult is it to scout a kicker coming out of college and to see if they can go from college to the pros?
You know, Pat, it's a great question, and personally, I think it's a very difficult position to scout. And number one, when you're looking just at the tape, you have no idea looking at the tape what weather conditions are, what the wind conditions are. So that plays into it. So you really have to see them live. And then you go and you get to the game, and it becomes it's the ball. The ball that the kickers are using in college is so much different than the NFL ball. The NFL ball is harder. A lot of these college kickers use scuffed-up balls. They're kicking them in practice. They're kicking them in the games. In fact, if you go to a college game and you're watching, there's a guy, a designated ball guy on the sideline for each team, and he's got like three different balls with him. He's got the punter's ball, he's got the kickoff ball, and he's got the place, you know, field goal and extra point ball with him. And they use that same ball game after game after game. You see these guys then, they're really good kickers in college, and you get them to the combine, and they just bomb once they get, you know, have to kick that NFL-type ball. So I think it's really difficult. When I was a scouting director, and even when I was a Giants, and I worked with some good special teams coaches, with Tobe and Mike Sweatman, so, and you've been with them too, I think you got to put a lot of the opinion on them and get their feeling, because they're the experts at that area. And you go with what they think more than what the scout thinks, only because they know exactly what they're looking for.
All right, Greg, we got to run, but we're going to put you on the spot. Pat and I are out there every week along with Pompey. So give us your pick. What do you think happens tonight?
Bears by 3. Do I got to give you a score?
Yeah, give me a score. Just
people
want to
know high scoring or low scoring.
Entertain me.
Yeah.
Low scoring, 24-21. That's low. Middle scoring, 24-21 Bears.
All right. Perfect.
All righty. We have our first prediction in for the evening. It is from Greg Gabriel, our personnel expert here at 670 The Score, here at ProFootballWeekly.com. You can hear him during the week. You can hear him with us every week. Greg, of course, ran the Chicago Bears scouting department, college scouting department, I should say, for almost a decade. And he's got it, Bears 24, Vikings 21. We shall see in a few hours if Greg is right. This half hour has been brought to you by Subway. They're raising the stakes with Subway Restaurants Steak and Cheese Signature Wrap. Chipotle Southwest Steak and Cheese Signature Wrap and the Chipotle Cheesesteak Sub on their new Sunflower Crunch Bread. Limited time only at participating restaurants. We take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to visit with Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Get the Vikings perspective from their media. That is next right here at 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.